Hi, pal. Welcome to I've Got Your Back, the podcast. My name is Michelle Sutherland, and this is a place where I want to empower and inspire you to tap into the deepest desires of your heart and discover the magic within. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode on I've Got Your Back, the podcast. I am so excited to welcome on my guest today, who is the wonderful Nina Alexander. Hi, Nina.
Hello. Something to be here.
I know it's going to be fab. And I've known Nina so many years now. We met through the Arbonne community. So I've been in it 16 years. I think you're about the same.
Wow, you're longer than me then.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 12 this year.
12 years, yeah. So that's where we met and that's where we connected. But actually, we've gotten to know each other a lot more deeper the last sort of year because I've been helping Nina on her B Corp journey with the company she founded, Anahita. So we have definitely got super close around that B Corp process and speaking so much to get it done. But it's super
goodness for Michelle.
And I'm just like, do this, say this, do this, get that. There we go. We're done. So it's been really, really nice to get to know you more deeply, but also your company, Anahita. And I think that we'll see where it goes. We always like to see where these episodes go and where the conversations go. We go with the flow, but it'd be really good to sort of delve into Anahita more because I just think it was born from such a beautiful place, which is obviously your heart, but the way it's evolved and what you're doing with it, I think is so special. So it'd be lovely to hear more about Anahita. But before we do that, I'd just like to ask you, first of all, who is Nina? Who are you? And what do you do? I don't sometimes like to say, what do you do? But what are the many hats that you wear? And what do you do out there in the world?
Well, I do absolutely wear many hats. And many different shapes and styles and colours and hats. But I always say, first and foremost, I'm a mum, because I think that's probably the biggest role I have, especially, I guess, the fact that I've got four children. So there's never a dull moment. And obviously, four individual humans takes up so much of my energy and my headspace and my time. And people say to me, how do you manage to run these businesses alongside four kids? But I think, you know, the beauty of being an entrepreneur and having your own business is that you can seamlessly fit it into your life. You know, I love having a diary where I can literally create my own week and every day is completely different. So alongside being a mum, I'm also a Reiki master. That's like my first and foremost from a giving perspective. That's what I do, and which is something I will always do because it's part of me. And I've been a Reiki master for over 16 years now, so it's just one of those things that's within me and I'll always do. I'm a proud Arbonne consultant. I've been affiliated with the brand for 12 years, so that was really the catalyst to starting another income stream, still in health and wellness, still helping people, which is, you know, we're still able to coexist alongside being a mum, alongside, you know, offering Reiki to clients and still supporting them in that space. And then over the years, I guess I kind of evolved more into this role of like just loving people and connecting with people and communities and helping serve people. And I guess just open up to the concept of health and wellness, but bringing in a bit more of my woo-woo Reiki energy as well. So I run retreats, I do some incredible like women's circles, we do lots under the full moon, I do lots of one-to-one, you know, spiritual coaching and mentoring for people and transformation, and that is super close to my heart. And then I launched Anahita because of course it wasn't busy enough.
You definitely needed something else. I was feeling there was something missing. You needed something.
Yeah, let's throw something else completely into the mix. But Anahita came about really, I think, for a couple of reasons. And I think out of everything I do, that's almost like my philanthropic thing that I'm giving back to the planet and to humanity, I guess. And it came about from a statistic that I heard, which was probably like 4 years ago now, that one tampon takes 800 years to decompose. And when I heard that, I was like, how many tampons have I used in my life? Like, I couldn't even quantify it. How much damage have I done to this planet? How much pollution have I created? Not knowingly or willingly, but because there were just no other options when I was younger. And having a daughter, so my youngest of four, she's a daughter and she's getting to that age where she will start her period soon. And just realizing there's got to be a different alternative for this next generation that are so eco-conscious anyway. So I made the decision to personally try a different option. I tried moon cups and things like that. Didn't really get on with them that well, and then tried period pants. It's like, wow, these are a game changer. They're super functional. I don't need to wear tampons and sanitary towels anymore. But I was like, I cannot wear any of these out the house. These are like your image of granny period pants. This is them. Like I can wear them in bed, but nowhere else. So then I was a woman on a mission to create a sexy, stylish version of leak-proof underwear that would still help people functionally, help women make that switch permanently where they don't have to use tampons ever again. And I went on a mission to design my own stylish versions.
Which is amazing. I can just see them behind you there, looking
Yeah.
fabulous.
Those are a couple of our top sellers. So this is Athena and this is Venus. So she's the kind of sexy thong that would be perfect for like day four, day five, day six, light flow, lots of different states of flow. We go from super heavy all the way to light flow. And that's safe for, women that have, it's not just for periods, it's for everything, leakage wise. So we cater for everyone. But that was over 2 years ago. I launched Anahita, and I think I knew from working with Arbonne, which is a B Corp brand, I knew about the importance of creating something with those B Corp ethics in place from day one. And that was really, really important to me to be able to create a brand that was obviously sustainable because the very nature of what Anahita does, we're saving plastic, we're saving.
Absolutely.
So it was already aligned with that, but I wanted to do it properly, and that's where you came in.
Yeah, amazing. I love that. I just want to take a moment here because that introduction of you and all the different hats you wear. I mean, I just love it. Like, it lights me up. I get excited for you. I think I'm a bit like that. I wear multiple hats and I love being multidimensional in multiple different ways. And I do think we are living in a world where that's okay. That's okay to be that way. 'Cause sometimes I feel a bit like, oh, I'm putting another thing out there to the world. I want to build a college. I've got a B Corp consultancy. I'm working on this project. And sometimes I think, God, people are like, what's another thing she's doing? What's another thing? But it feels so natural. Do you find it just feels very natural?
100%, 100%. I'm a Pisces by birth, by nature. I'm not good at being restricted. I can't do it. I'm like a fish that just needs to swim around freely. I need one day to be like literally holding women under a full moon, and the next day I'm looking at like stock levels and MOQs for the pants. I love that versatility. I love just being able to help different people in different ways and help myself and learn things. I have learned so much on this journey as a founder. New things, new experiences, new highs and lows, new lessons in business that I had never learned despite already being a really successful businesswoman who'd scaled businesses to millions of dollars of revenue. Like I was already experienced in business, but this has been a whole different learning curve for me.
What do you think is the biggest lessons and learnings so far that you haven't learned before with building Arbonne or anything else? What do you think it is?
Well, it's funny that we're talking about wearing different hats and loving wearing different hats. But one of the hard things about being a founder is you are wearing so many different hats all at the same time, all on the same day. And especially like when you're a startup, and for me, like I've bootstrapped this business myself from scratch. Most people that aren't in the found founder world or startup world wouldn't even know what that terminology meant. So I had to learn new terminology. Bootstrapped meant I was funding it myself. I was literally investing that money from my own pot because I had this vision and this mission. And that's how most startups are, right? You have to build it from the ground, from nothing. Most founders don't get huge investment straight away. That's something that comes later on in the journey when you've proved yourself a bit. So for me, I had to wear all the hats and figure everything out myself. I had to do the marketing, the website, the branding, the logo, the stock, finding the designs, finding the right suppliers, understanding the terminology and MOQs, and have I got the budget to get that style that I want? And wow, that has just been an entirely new learning curve. But like, exciting. It's always good, I think, in this life to learn new things. Like when you ultimately ask, well, who are we and why are we here? Me on a deep soul level, being woo-woo, being into energy, being into the universe, like that's my passion. Like we're here to learn. We're here to learn as much as we can. So even though, yeah, I'm already a busy person, I already have existing things, I could absolutely not take something else on. But for me, if I want to become the best version of myself in this human life, of which actually is going to go like that, then I have to learn as much as I can.
Yeah. Where do you think you get this from? You mentioned briefly Pisces. Now, I love astrology and I love the star signs. I'm an Aquarius. I do have a bit of Pisces in my sign, but my partner, Malcolm, is a Pisces. So I'm getting to know Pisces on a very deep level in this.
Right, okay. Pisces men especially are, yeah, they're the most emotional male you could possibly find.
And I'm just like, hi. So yeah, I'm learning a lot about Pisces men.
Interesting, because I'm a Pisces, my husband's an Aquarius, so it was like
Oh, we're
perfect growing up.
the opposite. That is so funny. I didn't know that. I didn't know your husband's Aquarius. Okay, so we get, okay, this is great. Oh, I could go deeper on this. So yeah, tell me like tell me more about what it's like being a Pisces. You mentioned like you love wearing different hats and one day you're changing from one thing to the other, but as a founder, you know, as a Pisces, you're doing everything in the one day, which is a bit more intense, so it's more learning. But what do you think it means being a Pisces in the world? Like, how do you see the world? How do you, because obviously there's emotion there. I feel as if Pisces, what I'm learning is you feel and see everything and everyone.
Everything. Yeah, and I even like got goosebumps as you said that. That was like the instant someone can walk into a room and I can feel instantly if something is really heavy on them. I can just feel it, I see it. It's instant, it's very intuitive, and a lot of Pisces are like that. And it's like it's funny, Pisces swim together often, like they'll just swim away. We actually quite like our own company a lot, like we need to just swim freely by ourselves. And then we also want to be together. So when I meet other Pisces, I'm like, oh, of course you're a Pisces. That's why I've been around you. That's why I can connect with you. It's funny how, it's funny, but I feel really blessed to be a Pisces. This is my, yes, Pisces, we're fish month now. But having said that, there are downsides to being Pisces. So one of them, and I'm really like honest about this, I think it's important sometimes to be vulnerable in business and really understand what your weaknesses are, because we've all got strengths, we've all got weaknesses. That's the beauty of polarity. That's how everything stays in balance. Polarity will always exist. So for me, I know exactly what my weaknesses are when it comes to business. Absolutely, structure and spreadsheets and like living working in a constraint. For me, it's like you've lost me. You've lost me at A1 cell, or even what a tab is on a spreadsheet. And I had to go through some like really serious financials this week for Anahita and P&Ls and profit and losses and future projections. And I was like, I'm really trying to hang in here, but I can give you the vision. I know what we're going to be doing in 3 years because I can see it. I can create it. I can bring it to life. But if you talk to me about it on a spreadsheet, you've lost me.
No.
However, You absolutely need those people to come into your business, which is like back to your original point. What's the hardest thing about being a founder? It's having to do that stuff on your own when it's not your zone of genius. And that's why it's become apparent to me that it's so important to have a team in place, or ad hoc people that come in that have that particular zone of genius that you don't have. So that is a real focus of mine, and that's why I'm now seeking investment for the first time, like trying to raise my first round. Now that we've proved ourselves, we've got the B Corp status, we've done so many incredible things in our 2 years. Now is the time that we can go out and seek investment for the first time with the right aligned investor that would want to partner with a female founded B Corp brand that wants to give back. So it's really exciting now, but wow, it's been a journey to get to that point.
And how are you finding it? Because obviously, I don't know what the stat is around female founders getting investment, but it's very low. So I think it might be like less than 20%.
It is less than 20%. It's like ridiculously low. But then, having said that, there are lots of different companies now and angel investment companies that are specifically looking for female founders or underrepresented founders. And that is so amazing because it is dominated by a certain category of men, and we have so much to give.
Yeah, totally. Do you think we're living in an era where there's going to be the rise, or is the rise in female founders? And like, what do you think the difference is? Because obviously, like you said, it is dominated by men quite a lot of the time for obvious reasons we could get into over the years and centuries of this sort of male leadership. I very much believe we're in the era of the female leadership. Like, how would you describe it? Like, what does it feel like, and how is it different from leadership that we've maybe seen in the past?
I think it's a really interesting time for women and female leadership because you're right. It feels like we're really stepping into our power and our era. And 2026 is a really transitional year. We've entered the fire horse year. We've left the snake and we've entered the fire horse. And that is powerful. It's eruptive. I feel like we're going to come in and disrupt the space. And I think women and especially female leaders are realizing, and there's a lot of talk about this at the moment, if women ruled the world, how different it would be, right? And I'm so inspired by all of these incredible new women that I'm meeting in networking groups and founder groups that I'm on. And we're seeing the rise of more and more podcasts from like Emma Greed and Rochelle Humes that are like championing all these women that are starting brands. And it's a really exciting time to be part of that as a female founder.
Yeah, it is. I'm feeling it. I actually saw last night there was I shared it on my Instagram stories. I'll send it to you, but it was like women all dancing together, like holding hands in a circle, and it was like, the future of leadership is not hierarchy, it's this movement of women together. And it's a very different way of building a business. It's like I feel it myself. It's like it's a real balance between surrendering to the path. Like you have the vision and you obviously take action when you need to take action, but there's this really surrender to the unfolding of the way it's supposed to be. But like even just the movement of this sort of dance that I saw in this video, I was like, that is it. That's what it feels like. It's very, very different to
I love
what.
that. It's like the fluidity of it.
There's fluidity in it, but I think as well, I was probably because I worked in a very male-dominated industry in IT, and I probably was even in Arbonne, I was a different kind of leader 16 years ago. Throughout those years, and probably what I am now, it's very, very different. So it's interesting. I just wanted to ask you that because it was something that came up last night.
It's also this beautiful collaboration and balance. Like I was just talking about that polarity of balance. We need the male and we need the female energy. And because we're female leaders and, my brand is all about the divine feminine. I live in my feminine. Like I wear flowery dresses. I'm so aligned to the feminine world. But in business, I'm like a male. I can have that male energy in business and create success and taking action and leadership, and that brings that balance. So I think that's the beauty of the female founder, is we bring the divine feminine to the table of business, which is very male.
Yeah, totally. And to just go back to Anahita, because I wanted to say it. Obviously, it's B Corp month for the month of March. So it's so good that you got certified a few months ago, and now we're sort of finally getting together and doing this on B Corp month. Have you got any tips and tricks and anything that you would share with other sort of founders that are going through this process? Because I know it has been very rigorous. It takes a lot of time, resources, money. Like, what would you share with other people that are thinking about becoming B Corp?
If you are a founder that wants a brand that is fully sustainable and recognized for being ticking every box when it comes to genuinely giving back and not just kind of saying you're doing it, but you've been assessed so stringently and proven to do that, then I would start with the process from day one. If you're right at the beginning of the process, it doesn't matter if you're 2 years into your business, you can absolutely start the process then. But it's about having the framework. And I think that's where you helped me so much. Again, not being someone who likes or is particularly expert in spreadsheets and structure, for me, what the B Corp process did was really put that framework in place, the documents, the strategy of everything that needed to be done from ground zero up to ensure that we were ticking all of those boxes.
So basically start from the beginning if you are a startup, or even if you are a little bit in, just start when you can. Are you doing anything for B Corp month? Have you got any wee plans up your sleeve?
So I've got an exciting couple of weeks ahead actually, because I'm actually building a traditional Mongolian yurt in my garden.
Yes.
It's so cool, it's so cute, and it's just beautiful. And it's like there's a space that's just been waiting for it. So that can hold, I think, about 20, 25 people. So I think I might have a little launch party and like celebrate B Corp month being a B Corp brand and just celebrating Anahita and everything we've achieved so far.
Amazing. I love it. A B Corp yurt party. I
Yeah.
don't think anyone's ever done that, by the way. I've never seen anyone do that. So that'll be a first.
I'll tick
Just
that box of
tick
B
that
Corp.
box again. And just on that note, Nina, I think it's so important you do celebrate, and with everyone that sort of makes up Anahita, because I even know from, the marketing that you do, it's a lot of your friends, like you're in there, like all the photography of women wearing the pants are actually a lot of your friends, aren't they?
The whole brand of Anahita and how it came about. So people often ask me, like, what's the inspiration behind Anahita? And it was actually inspired by like half of my culture. It's a bit hidden. It's not something I've ever really delved into that deeply. But I'm half Persian. And I went on holiday with my friends for my 40th. And we had a kiddie-free holiday. And I just had this expansive time looking in the ocean. I had days and days to just let the downloads come. And it just came to me, and I just suddenly felt this alignment with this ancient Persian culture. And then I started researching Persian goddesses, and the ancient Persian goddess of fertility and wisdom was Anahita. And I was like, that's it, that's her. And so the whole branding and the messaging behind who she is and embracing this divine feminine within us has been so important to me, and even more so now with everything that's going on in Iran and Persian women all over the world, what they're going through makes me emotional. I just feel really proud that I kind of brought that into her roots.
Oh my God, I've got goosebumps all over my body and now I'm crying.
Sorry, we ended up in
No,
tears. But
it's
yeah, it's a really important message, is like empowering women. It's International Women's Day this month as well, and there's so many women are suffering in the world in so many different ways, and that's why, the charity side of what we do is such an important thing for me as well. Like, we've managed to donate pants to girls in villages all over Africa, like Malawi and Uganda, and they've sent messages back like, you don't know what this means. We've been able to go back to school for that week, and you just kind of think, wow, like what a pair of pants can do, we underestimate. So I feel, yeah, I feel like the hard times are worth it, because when you get those messages, it kind of puts everything into place, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think sometimes in Western culture we don't realize the simplest of things that we probably take for granted. Like those pants keep those girls in education, which
Yeah.
is so important to them, and removes them from vulnerable situations. And
Absolutely.
it's remembering that. And the other thing there, like, do you feel, obviously, you said you've not shared too much about your Persian sort of background, but do you feel as if now, maybe in the last few years or even the last few months, it's getting stronger and stronger to tap into that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always understood and being part of the culture because I've been around it so much growing up, but because my mum was English, you know, I don't speak Persian. My dad is Iranian, so I've grown up in this like 50-50, but I've never been able to go to Iran because it's never been safe. So everything that's happening now feels really overwhelming in a way to think there might actually come a time where I do go to that country, you know, and discover this other half of me. But until that day comes, and none of us know, because it's obviously extremely unpredictable right now, I'm really taking comfort from the fact that this ancient Persian goddess is somehow part of me and is giving back in a different way. And yeah, like everyone that we've helped so far, from the girls in Africa, but young girls in sport and women suffering from endometriosis and super heavy periods, and then messaging to say we've never been able to not have a day where we've changed 10 sanitary towels and now we can. Like that means everything and makes the whole journey worth it. And also like catering for that box where women can feel womanly and divine when they're on their period and in every cycle of their life, where it's, you know, it could be postpartum, it could be menopause, it could be perimenopause. We literally support women through that entire journey and that cycle of life. And that's why every style is named after a different goddess. So we've got like everything from Athena to Edessa to Gaia, you know, anything that aligns that whole spiritual side of women is what Anahita is all about, but very much making you feel held, supported, womanly in that whole cycle you're going through. And that's why I'm so ready to get this investment, because you can see here one of the most exciting things I've been working on since day one is our signature divine feminine fragrance. And
Yeah.
it's a non-toxic fragrance that there's four different fragrances that are going to align with the time of the month. So fragrance for like week one, which is our menstrual phase when we bleed, and then a different phase, a different fragrance for each phase of the monthly cycle. And so that is super exciting, and it's all part of the 3-year plan.
That's incredible, because I remember when we first chatted about Anahita becoming a B Corp, you said to me, Michelle, I've got two companies. One's Anahita, which is obviously everything you've just described, but you also talked about this fragrance. And so it's so exciting to see it next to Anahita now. And yeah, I'm obviously going to be on the journey with that as well to
Super
bring that to
excited.
life with B Corp. But yeah, it's so, and it totally makes sense because every week is different for us. Those different stages. So, oh, it's so exciting. I can't
I know.
wait.
I'm so excited. I can't wait for people to smell it, because I at the moment I'm like going shopping in Sainsbury's and I have women coming up to me. Honestly, it happens every week. I have someone that comes up to me that says, oh, what perfume are you wearing? And I'm like, oh,
It. Yeah, and that's when you know, it's when people are coming and asking, and it's getting their senses, so that's when you know it's hitting the mark, you know, it's there. Oh, I can't wait. I want to be the first. Send it to me when
I
it's
will.
ready. So I've touched upon a lot. Thank you for being so open and just going to all those different places. I'd love to know for you right now, what's the words you want to share with the world? What do you feel needs to be said today?
Think it's a really, really crazy time out there. And I think so many people, especially if you're quite an intuitive person, can be really feeling that right now, and like not understanding why there's so much trauma in the world and so much anger. And it does relate back to this fire horse, I think. You know, we are in a time of eruption, but like all of the elements, there has to be fire sometimes for the subsidence to come afterwards. There has to be dark for there to be light. And I think we're in a really transitional time, and I think there's so much hope, and we just have to keep being in our light, giving back to this planet as much as we can. You know, I'm doing so much work and support with people right now to help them protect themselves and like give light to the planet. You know, the planet just needs all of us collectively just sending love right now. Just keep sending love. You know, when the fear comes in or the madness kicks in or whatever it is, just remember light and love is who we are and what we need.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Nina, thank you so much. It's such a beautiful way to finish. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your love and light, and thank you for everything you're doing for so many other people just by being you, because you're very much just being you. So thank you.
Thank you, and thank you so much for being my literal right-hand woman on this B Corp journey, because there is no way, absolutely no way, I could have done it and all of those spreadsheets without you. So
Yeah, it's a
thank you.
pleasure. Total pleasure. Well, we'll speak to you soon, my dear. Have a great day. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. Remember, download the Yoga Nidra right after this episode. Make sure you have a listen. It's the most beautiful guided meditation that will regenerate your mind, your body, and your soul. Take care. See you soon.